the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Look at y'all are in bright colors, orange and pink.
Yeah.
I need to step up my game here. My blue.
I don't know.
Are y'all ready to start with prayer? Today's the
yes.
Our saint of the day is the Apostle Bartholomew. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Strengthen in us, O Lord, the faith by which the blessed Apostle Bartholomew clung wholeheartedly to your Son, and grant that through the help of his prayers, your church may become for all the nations, the sacrament of salvation. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Bartholomew, pray for us.
Pray for us. That's right.
Wonderful. We have events happening in our listening area you'll hear about in just a few more minutes. Richard Meek joins us. He is the editor of the Catholic Commentator, which is the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So we'll update you on what you'll find in this biweekly issue. David Adams joins us. He's Vice President of Missions for Cross Catholic Outreach, and he's talking about Haiti relief. So we talked about this yesterday. We actually couldn't get David on the phone, and so we're going to get him on today, and I'm so excited to talk about how we can help those who need it the most, especially those over in Haiti. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to welcome back Adam Bly. He's been on Wake Up a couple of times to talk about his book, The Catholic Guide to Miracles, yes. Separating the Authentic from the Counterfeit. We have such great conversation, Damian, about this mm-hmm. book. And this is, I think, the second or third time we've had Adam on our morning
yes.
show, just because
yes.
the conversation is so just well, so interesting. You want to hear more.
His
right.
job is fascinating.
Yeah,
that's what I think is so. We could just talk to him about what he
yeah,
does.
Because he not only talks about miracles,
yes.
but he consults priests because
right.
on exorcisms.
Yeah, that's right.
He how do you become
them.
An exorcist or
he
a demonologist?
Yes.
How does one even do that? He says it's by the grace of God. We'll learn more
it's
about
so
it later on this morning, though.
Very.
Weather-wise, though, if you like hot and humid, I can almost be a forecaster and prognosticator because it's been the same thing way for over a week now. It is going to be hot. It will be humid, but we can bear with it. Partly cloudy skies, mostly sunshine, though, scattered afternoon thunderstorms. And the high expect to be around 95, 96 degrees, the low around 75. 40% chance of rain in some areas. In fact, the Houma area right now getting some showers. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, everybody else is getting some clear skies or at least waking up to some nice sunshine.
Right.
Currently,
mm-hmm.
temperatures across the area, Biloxi, 82 degrees. Houma, it's 81, as I said, with some showers. New Orleans, 79. North Shore, it's 78. And also in Baton Rouge, 78 degrees right now. So... there you go. If you're wondering what it's going to be like tomorrow, all I can say is close to today, but more rain expected
okay.
for tomorrow and Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
so
been so hot. The heat index, just my poor plants.
Yeah, I know.
I'm looking forward to the rain just for them, for their sake.
Well, I pick up a really sweaty football player in the afternoon at St.
Yeah,
Michael. And
yeah.
so
oh,
that's,
my gosh.
It's been pretty warm. But, you know, it comes with the territory. We live in South Louisiana, right?
I remember those two-a-days. I tell you, they were tough.
Yep.
Yes. Oh. Stay hydrated. Wear your sunscreen. And we have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It's 7:05 on Wake Up.
Thank you. Good morning, a blessed feast of the Apostle St. Bartholomew. Today's Gospel comes to us from John chapter 1. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in the law, and also the prophets, Jesus the son of Joseph from Nazareth." But Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
In today's Gospel, we are given a wonderful example of how God uses his flawed earthly children to bring others to him. Earlier, Jesus used Andrew to call his brother Simon. Traveling to the town of Bethsaida in Galilee, Jesus called Philip, "Follow me." Philip then called Nathanael, traditionally identified as St. Bartholomew, whose feast we celebrate today. Filled with enthusiasm, Philip declared that he had found the one who was prophesied by Moses and the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael replied with skepticism, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip retorted with the very words Jesus used when he called his first disciples, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael, he alluded to Psalm 32, verse 2, applying it to Nathanael. "Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputes no guilt, in whose spirit is no deceit." Aware that Jesus was reaching into his heart, Nathanael asked, "How do you know me?" Jesus said, "When you were under the fig tree, I saw you," referencing passages from Micah and Zechariah that spoke of being in the shade of a fig tree as a symbol of the wonderful messianic age. Suddenly, the gift of faith struck Nathanael like a bolt of lightning cracking across a dark sky. His first conversion had begun. His second conversion struck on Good Friday, when the inadequacy of human frailty was evident, and then he encountered the risen Lord on Easter Sunday. He was not yet the stuff from which martyrs are made. Aware of their limitations, Nathanael and the other apostles doubted their ability to faithfully carry out their mission. His final conversion occurred on Pentecost, when he was filled with the love of the Holy Spirit. Subsequently, this apostle boldly preached the gospel. The manner of his death, said to have occurred in Abanopolis in Armenia, is uncertain. According to some, he was beheaded. According to others, flayed alive and crucified head downward. He had become the stuff from which martyrs are made. May we become more like him. St. Bartholomew, pray for us. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers, and also Father Chris Decker. It is Tuesday morning, August 24th, for those of you. It's 7:10, almost 7:11, and it's going to be a beautiful day again, as it was yesterday. And like Jimmy was saying, the apostles were calling other apostles and others to Christ. That's what we're going to do right now. We're going to call others to events that are taking place in and around our area. So, for example, in New Orleans, the Legion of Mary is having their 100th anniversary celebration. And my mom was a member of the Legion of Mary, if you can believe that. I didn't know that. I found out that later on in life, but as a kid, I didn't know where she was going, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, here's where you need to go if you want to help celebrate. It's September 7th, and it's going to be from 5 to 7 at St. Dominic Catholic Church in New Orleans. At 5 o'clock, they're going to do a rosary, followed by Mass at 5:30, then adoration. And just so y'all know, the Legion of Mary began with just 15 members, and now it's grown to 4 million across 170 countries.
Amazing.
So
that's beautiful. It is. 100 years in New Orleans.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So great celebration.
To celebrate, right. Exactly. Yep. So the Adoration Chapel at Our Lady of Mercy in Baton Rouge, in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, is open 24 hours a day, seven days a week. Mm-hmm. I know some Adoration Chapels are reopening slowly, and you have to have a reservation to get in. But Our Lady of Mercy, 24/7 Adoration Chapel, is for all Catholics throughout Baton Rouge. If you would like to devote an hour and participate in Our Lady of Mercy's 24/7 adoration. They are really in need, an urgent need, for adorers on Friday and Sundays at 3 a.m. and on Thursday at 2 a.m. So if you are, you know, I know a lot of folks who love that time of the, I was gonna say night, but of the morning to pray. And Our Lady of Mercy in Baton Rouge has a beautiful adoration chapel. So check out, you can give Our Lady of Mercy a call. Their adoration chapel and their church is located on Government Street. So to sign up, you can call Michelle at 225-229-1930. You could also just call the parish office at Our Lady of Mercy, and they can set it up for you. But it's wonderful to see adoration chapels opened again, Gabby.
Yes, I love the Our Lady of Mercy Adoration Chapel. It's such a beautiful, quiet, holy place. Another place that I love is the Old Ursuline Convent. I had the pleasure of touring this a few years back. A few years back is a long time ago. It's the seventh grade. But I remember it. I remember this
field
trip.
Just yesterday, Gabby.
I do. Please visit the museum at the Old Ursuline Convent. They're doing the Church in the Crescent City, 300 Years of Catholicism in New Orleans, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., with the last admission at 1:15 p.m., $8 general admission, $7 for seniors, use that discount, you guys, and $6 for students and military, so I'm sure you have to show an ID for that. It's on Chartres Street, which is a corner of Chartres and Ursuline, in the historic French Quarter. I know you can go online and take a look at that, but just such a beautiful place and historic place in the city of New Orleans, I highly recommend.
Absolutely.
Right, part of the French Quarter.
That's right.
Also, beautiful. A quick shout-out to Deacon George Hooper over at Immaculate Conception Church in Denham Springs, where the Knights of Columbus held their barbecue chicken dinner event for Father Raj, who was leaving, going down to Napoleonville. And they were super excited. They said it was a great success, a great shout out. So to Jeremy and all the Knights of Columbus, they sold out. They said they could have sold 1,000 dinners, but they only prepared for 525.
That's awesome.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's a lot.
It is, but they did great. And the money's going to go to the Indian mission in India. That's so awesome. We're going to be back with Richard Meek on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 24th. Today we celebrate Saint Bartholomew. We immediately recognize the name of Bartholomew, one of Jesus' original 12 apostles, though we don't know much about him. In Hebrew, his name tells us that he is the son of Ptolemaeus. Some scholars identify Bartholomew with Nathanael, who was summoned by Philip to join Jesus' followers. In turn, Jesus paid Nathanael a great compliment. Here is a true Israelite. There is no duplicity in him. Later, Nathanael was one of the apostles to whom Jesus appeared on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias after his resurrection. These unknown or little-known apostles were foundation stones, the 12 pillars of the New Israel, whose 12 tribes now encompass the whole earth. Their personalities were secondary to the role they played in sharing their firsthand experiences, speaking in the name of Jesus, putting the Word made flesh into human words for the enlightenment of the world. Their holiness was a gift that they had to share with others. The good news is that all of us are called to the holiness of being Christ's members by the gracious gift of God. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Catch Daily Mass at noon, followed by the Rosary. We have the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Father Ronnie Calkins of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And Kitty Cleveland, that is later today at 3 p.m. And last but not least, Alicia, because we always want to tell you good news, you can follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Catholic Community Radio, and on Twitter at LA Catholic Radio. Reliable Catholic news. You can find that on our social media platforms. So lots of ways to connect with us online.
That's right. And also a nice way to keep up with Catholic news, Gabby, is to pick up a copy of the Catholic Commentator. It's the official newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And with us this morning is Richard Meek. He is the editor of the Catholic Commentator, and he's going to give us an update on this week's biweekly issue. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, and hope everyone is doing well.
We are, and same to you. I hope all is well with our Catholic commentator friends.
Right. I do want to start off quickly, very quickly, and let y'all know in the listening audience that I did a little show with Deacon Jody Moscone for Catholic Life TV a couple weeks ago. And so it was really talking about the impact of Catholic media. And one of the things, you know, talked about television, and it may have mentioned the Catholic Commentator, but one of the things that definitely hopped on was Catholic Community Radio. What a great job you do. What's a great outlet for people. So I just wanted to let you guys know and praise you and Gabby about the talk show. What a great talk show it is.
Thank you.
So just wanted to pass that along. I think it's going to air in September, early September on Catholic Life TV.
Nice. Well, we'll look forward to that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, y'all do great. Y'all do a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. That's so nice to hear, as do you. And let's jump right in. Speaking of deacons, Deacon Moscone, let's talk about the deaconate ordinations that happened.
Yes, always a wonderful ceremony. And any ordination is, I just love covering ordination. And Bishop Duke's homily was just on point,
of course,
always. And he said services, he really had a great statement. I'd never heard this. Service is the foundation of the sacrament of holy orders. And it said that's what grounds the sacrament where it's supposed to be. And he said through that service, everything else comes and everything else is put into place. And his message was really clear that they're in service, you know, deacons are in service. Their first call is to be out there for the people. And he talked about them being a man of service. He also talked about the ministry being a public expression of that. And I love what he said. He said, you know, your actions speak many times louder than words. And he says, let them always speak of Christ. But what he also did too, and I like this, he challenged the people there and said, you know, people, the Holy Spirit should be working in the lives of everyone there. And when someone sees something that needs help, they need to react. And why did God direct me to see that? I never really heard it put that way.
Wow.
But it was the Spirit of God trying to invite you to a different level of service. So it was all about, it was great homily, of course.
And
it was very good and inspiring ceremony as always. Six deacons, that's a good thing.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It is. That's wonderful. Well, good. Well, we have a new Deacon Paul Swallow is in my parish in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful to have him at every Mass this Sunday. So it's great having all these wonderful men of faith in our communities. You have a story about parents of addicted loved ones. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is a very touching story that Debbie Selly wrote. And it's really a support group for parents who have children that are various addictions, and it provides hope and support. And it's a group that goes through basically 13 lessons, along with the various number of topics covered. But one of the things, it just offers a place of hope for people to really share, because, you know, a lot of these parents have lost their children to various addictions. And, you know, people can say, offer advice on the outside, but that they haven't been through it. But when they walk through the door into this group, they realize that all these other parents are in the same boat. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're telling you their story because it sounds like yours.
Yes.
And so it's really, they said it's a safe, I love this, it's a safe place to cry. It's a safe place to laugh. And they also realize they don't have to walk through this journey alone. So that's, of course, that's important. Very touching, very emotional, but good success stories too.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like a down. It's a very good, touching success story as well.
And like you said, nice for people to know that they're not alone. think some journey like that.
I mean, I can't imagine what those parents go through.
Right, right. Wow, well, that'll be a great one to read. You also have a story about a donation that was made to the Baton Rouge Archives.
Oh, you got to love this. The Damians and it just have been around forever. And Darryl Cody, who is the office of director, Fam Life, right?
Tell him it's a singing group, okay?
More than one Damian.
Oh, yeah. Clarify that. It's not like I have an organization named after me or anything. They don't even spell it like I do.
Right. They just wonderful, and they've been around a long time. That's like kid Darryl. I said, I sort of remember you, but I was too young. And he just like, be quiet. But anyway, they have all their memorabilia, their copy. They had 14 albums. And so copy of all their records, a copy of their master tapes, the original recordings, articles. They used to write a newspaper article for Catholic, syndicated an essay through Catholic News Service talking about music. Mm-hmm. And it would break down songs. This is way back when. This is back in the 70s. And so I didn't know that. I had no idea. So all of this went to Ann Bolton, at Archives. And she was just so happy to get it. She was excited. And they got together for a day at Archives for a couple of hours. And then they went to... Then they went on to eat after, which is neat, because it was sort of a reunion for them.
Yeah.
And Darryl was talking about the memories and the times that they had. He was telling me he once filled half of a football stadium in New Hampshire for a concert. Isn't that awesome?
Richard, you don't remember them growing up? I do. They were big in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. They would go to from church parish to church parish once in a while and pack them in. They had a good following. And I didn't know Darryl at the time. I got to meet Darryl later on in life. And, he's doing great pastoral work, too, for the diocese.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Tell everybody real quick what he does. If he didn't retire yet.
Yeah, he's the director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life. So he'll help direct pro-life some activities as well. They do a great job with the annual wedding mass. They put on various workshops. And then also to help in marriage prep. Mm-hmm. And they may set up guidelines. He'll do a weekend. Now, some of that has changed because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But it's a very active office. Yeah, and I do remember. Awesome. I mean, you're right. I do remember the Damians. Not kidding, but I remember my sister. She really liked them a lot.
And everybody would go. Well, wait, you can't like them too much. They're men of the cloth. Some of them were anyway. It seemed like.
Well, they all were.
Yeah, that's what I remember. I wasn't sure if some were deacons and still had a chance at them, or what,
Oh, it was great. They all got ordained. And after they were ordained, they still continued the tour.
Yeah. So are they going to have a reunion tour? I know you said they went out to eat, but, man, I was expecting a concert somewhere where we could go and relive the memories.
Well, they did one. We covered it about three or four years ago. They did one in New Orleans. And one of our reporters went, and apparently they just rocked the house. Yeah. I mean, that's
awesome.
Kidney, but I
love
that.
A rock star.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, switching gears, we understand that Franciscan Mission of Our Lady suffered some major damage in an earthquake.
Yes, down in Haiti. Okay. They have a mission there. It started in 1988. In fact, Sister Martha Ann Absher, who we all know and love, she is she and another sister, Althea, who is no longer with us, unfortunately, they found that in 1988, they had a 30-unit hospital. Mm-hmm. It collapsed. It pancaked. Mm-hmm. Two floors pancaked on top of each other. At this point, it seems like there were no deaths, which is just miraculous, right?
Wow,
and then the convent suffered severe damage. So she's trying to get... they really need to make some decisions moving forward as to what they're going to do. But she said, they're committed to the area, and they really want to make it work down there. The hospital is basically the children who are malnourished, babies and young kids, and that's a real problem there.
Yes.
I mean, Haiti is like the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and they don't have free medical coverage. You have to pay for medical coverage unless you don't get medical care. And so this hospital is a godsend for people. And it just, you know, that was a tough area. It's like 7.2, I think, on Richter scale.
Yes.
Did a lot of damage.
It did. And we'll hear a little bit more from Cross Catholic Outreach this morning about Haiti and how we can help. Now, school's back in session, and you have an article about the St. Joseph's Academy students keeping daily actions rooted in Christ.
Yes, this is something that was founded by St. Ignatius of Loyola. I think we heard of him.
Yeah.
it actually goes back to 1650 with the Sisters of St. Joseph. And what it is, it's an opportunity, and they do it at the seventh period of St. Joseph. But it's really a time to reflect on their daily actions, how it was rooted in Christ.
That's
and they
awesome.
Talk one of the things with the sisters have done with the students.
Richard, we're going to have to pick up a copy
to the table soon.
We'll have to pick up a copy of the Catholic Commentator to find out more about that. It is 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Friends of abortion-friendly California Governor Gavin Newsom are increasingly worried that September's recall election might displace Newsom with a black pro-life Christian, Larry Elder. The Los Angeles Times, which once at the death of Cuba's murderous dictator Fidel Castro, honored Castro as a charismatic icon, now publishes an op-ed calling the black pro-life candidate the black face of white supremacy. Candidate Larry Elder says that the left is in a panic because if California can elect a pro-life conservative, any state can do so. Narrow majorities in each chamber of Congress are going opposite directions on taxpayer funding for abortion. The U.S. House passed and the U.S. Senate rejected budget provisions eliminating Hyde Amendment restrictions. In reconciliation, one side or the other must give or face federal shutdowns. A strong majority of American taxpayers oppose their tax dollars paying for abortion. This is Life News Radio.
Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the Church. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. churchinneed.org.
Another California Catholic university has been found paying for abortions in student health care. Though private schools are exempt from abortion laws covering students, a professor at the latest school, the University of San Diego, equated abortion with what she called other pro-life issues like racism and the gender pay gap. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
It's 7:35 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. And we kind of missed that last story Richard was talking about with St. Joseph's Academy students keeping daily actions rooted in Christ.
Yes.
If you want to read about that story and plenty of others, you can pick up your copy of the Catholic Commentator at churches this weekend in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, or you can go online right now to news.diobr.org. That's news.diobr.org, and that is their website. I also posted their link in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. For those who are Facebook users, you can just go ahead and click on that. So plenty of ways to connect with the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to our next guest. David Adams joins us. He is a Vice President of Missions for Cross Catholic Outreach. And today we're talking about Haiti relief, and we've been talking about this from a local level. Well, Cross Catholic Outreach is goes beyond that. So, David, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you for having me, Gabby.
Absolutely. You know, we're responding to this need, the earthquake that happened on August 14th, which was just so devastating. I don't know if it's just me, but every year these poor people have to go through something, whether it's a hurricane, an earthquake, and they're in need, and they need our help. So what can we do? What is Cross Catholic Outreach doing right now?
Well, we fortunately have quite a few partners, including in the region that was hit by the earthquake, local charities,
And we also have warehouses interspersed where we had pre-positioned, so to speak, humanitarian goods. This being the time of year when hurricanes and the like tropical storms normally hit. Mm-hmm. And so we try to be ready, especially this time of year. And so we have food and medicine and PPE and building supplies. And we have a logistics capacity, being able to get trucks with security, which is important in this time. And we've actually been flying some goods into the most remote areas also.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And when I read this, I was just blown away. Cross Catholic Outreach is sending over 1 million meals to Haiti, and aid is being distributed right now in hard-hitting communities. What can we do right now? And what do you need? Are you looking for monetary donations? Local volunteering? What are you kind of looking for?
Well, thank you for that question. Definitely, we ask people, since we have the capacity to get all the goods we need in around the area, cash is really what we need. And it's relatively easy to contribute through our website, www.crosscatholic.org. And we also have ways to get cash payments into the hands of missionaries, priests and nuns and others who live in these areas who are doing heroic work in many, many cases. For example, there's an American, Betty Gabrion, married to a Haitian, has lived in the regional town of Jeremy for many years, which is in the most remote area where the earthquake hit. And she has a network of some 59 clinics. They're small. A number of them, no doubt, were damaged or worse. But we've been flying in medicines and other PPE and so forth to her. But again, cash is what we need, cash to be able to purchase what we need or otherwise get money into the hands of those we trust locally to be able to buy where they're able to buy goods, food, for example. You mentioned the 1 million meals. Yes, it's the reason why we're able to get that much food in is we work with suppliers of what's called Vitafood, which is a vacuum-packed packet of rice and beans and soy and a vitamin mix that cooks up into a large, 5 or 6 meals per packet. Mm-hmm. And so that we're able to ship in 40-foot containers and to store, and it's got a long shelf life. So anyway, that's the kind of food we're able to get in and around the country.
You know, we have a lot of listeners that are thinking, you know, I can't really help financially. What can I do? Maybe flying to Haiti or flying to where Cross Catholic Outreach headquarters is in Florida isn't possible at the moment. But prayer works and prayer helps.
Exactly.
So I do want to throw that out there. I do want to throw that out there. David, you know, every year we talk to Cross Catholic Outreach when it comes to the Box of Joy campaign. We've been talking about it for years now, and it's amazing seeing the numbers. Cross Catholic Outreach, the first time I've ever heard of Cross Catholic Outreach, I think there was a representative that came to my church parish in New Orleans to tell us about the wonderful things that you do. You serve different third world countries around the world all the time. Talk about how it's been so far with the pandemic and the need that you see.
Well, that's an excellent question, too. Yes, it's been tough in that our staff, with some limited exceptions, have not been able to travel to any of the 30-some countries where we're involved. At the same time, we have very strong communication links. We stay in touch via email, WhatsApp, telephone, and so forth. And we have been able to ascertain from the amazing nuns and priests and lay Catholics with whom we work, and in most cases they work closely with the local bishop. In fact, bishops are the ones who have to approve all of our activities to be sure that we're not running afoul using somebody or working with somebody that they don't approve of. But anyway, so we have been able to get emergency grants and shipments of PPE during this time of COVID and food. And in fact, it has been food, which is by in most countries the most dire need because you've had markets disrupted. You know, school is not in session, and we do a lot in with school feeding. So our partners have kind of repurposed or redesigned their programs to go home to home if they have to, but also to have in community centers or in schools feeding programs. And we've had, you know, donors have given us emergency grants, foundations and others to be able to purchase, help our ministry partners on the ground purchase what they need. Mm-hmm. Or again, we've been able to ship. We have a very, I think, if I don't say so myself, efficient department for shipping goods, mainly by sea, but also by air. So those are the different ways we've responded during COVID.
Wow. And I also see, you know, looking through your website, you also focus on clean water for these communities as well, Catholic education, safe homes, and medical needs. And you can actually go on their website and pick an amount that you want to donate and where you want it to go to. It's actually pretty easy, but you can also give monthly. So how important is it, David, for people to give monthly and for Cross Catholic Outreach to rely on that support? Because when it comes to natural disasters, there's no telling when it'll come or when it'll happen.
Oh, yeah. No, that's it's extremely important. And we, as is displayed on our website, we keep a very low overhead. We don't have a large staff in our central offices. We have maybe 150 people between our two offices here in South Florida. And we do have consultants and a few staff overseas, but we rely on, the, as I said, the priests, the nuns, the lay people with whom we partner in the countries, because they're the ones that know the countries best. And we don't need to be, you know, sending our people over to tell them what to do. We obviously monitor how they use the money, international accounting standards. But that is that's basically how we work, and we try to keep our expenses, our administration expenses, very low.
Wow. David Adams, Vice President of Missions for Cross Catholic Outreach. You can go to crosscatholic.org to find out more information. David, thanks so much for joining us. It is 7:45 on Wake Up.
Welcome back to Wake Up on this Tuesday morning. So glad you could join us. And weather-wise, across the area, it's going to be hot and humid today. Partly cloudy skies and mostly sunny, as I said. Scattered thunderstorms here and there. Otherwise, expect the high to be about 96, the low to be about 76. And in some areas, a 40% chance of rain. For example, in the Houma area right now, they are getting rain. And they have a temperature of 81 degrees. Biloxi, it's 83. On the North Shore, it's 79. New Orleans, it's 81 already. And Baton Rouge, it's 79. So there you have it as far as temperatures go. I'm Damian Collado along with Alicia Quibido and Gabby Smith over in New Orleans. We also have Jeff Blackwell and Karen Cotton in our production studios keeping things moving along. And speaking of moving along right now, Adam Bly, if you've not heard of him, you're going to remember him after this interview this morning.
Right.
He is the author of Catholic Guide to Miracles, Separating the Authentic from the Counterfeit. And Adam, welcome to Wake Up again.
Oh, thank you, Damian. Nice to be here.
And Adam, real quick, is a certified consultant for exorcist and has spent decades studying everything from miracles to how consulting priests on how to perform exorcisms, I guess. Yeah. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that. I know last time when Adam was on the show, we talked about apparitions as well as stigmata. So we're going to kind of change gears a little bit. And Adam, tell us real quick, though, give us a quick one-minute background of how an individual like yourself can consult priests without being a priest.
Oh, are you there, Damien?
I'm here. Oh,
okay, great. About 15 years ago, I got drawn into this basically by God and Providence when there was only a handful of exorcists in the country. And I got to know the main people that were kind of running things, and there was very few. And so we decided at that time to start putting on conferences to train exorcists nationally. I got invited to be an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists in Rome, and it's just snowballed from there. So now a number of bishops in different dioceses have asked me to help train their priests, and I've started training internationally also.
Great. Wow. Okay. Yes, and, the research that you've done leading up to that is amazing, including one of your chapters and sections in the book is on Eucharistic miracles. We didn't get a chance to talk about that last time, but I want to definitely touch on that this time. To me, it is amazing. If you do not believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ, I guarantee you, you will after you read the book and learn a little bit more about these miracles that exist. Share with us how that even exists and which ones really stand out for you.
Well, there was one that when Pope Francis was a bishop down in Buenos Aires, so that this happened, in our lifetimes, in our current age, where after Mass, a Eucharist was found. They had set it aside in water because it had fallen, and that's the normal thing to do, to let it dissolve in water. And when they came back to check on it a little time later, they saw some red dots forming and the material of it changing a little bit. And of course, one of the thoughts is maybe that's a mold forming or something like that. So they just continue to let it set aside. It looked more and more like blood over time. And so then, Pope Francis, I believe he was an archbishop at the time, he sent it out for a medical evaluation to determine exactly what was in it. So they had outside licensed doctors look at this, and it was determined to be cardiac tissue and blood, which is consistent down through the various Eucharistic miracles when they've been analyzed by doctors. And by the way, these are not, church doctors who are told what they're looking at. They're given the sample without being told where it's from and just simply asked, what is it? And so consistently it's cardiac tissue. And yeah, it makes a big impact on people. And in many cases, it then goes on to never degrade or decay over the decades and centuries.
Yes, and this isn't just one location. It's happened in multiple locations around the world.
Oh, sure. Yeah, many times down through history, often in response to people's doubts or, as an encouragement to the world or the people in that region.
Yeah. So what's the latest as far as miracles go that you're exploring or researching? Is there one that hasn't quite hit the news, but you can give us some insight on?
Well, there's a pattern of some healings that are happening around Rhoda Wise. This is a woman from Canton, Ohio. Her cause has been put forward for sainthood, and her home is still present. Mother Angelica, when she was a laywoman, when she was a young woman, had an incurable stomach ailment, and Rhoda was well known at the time as somebody who could pray for people. Mother Angelica was cured by Rhoda's prayers, and a long time later, Mother Angelica bought her home and restored it and set it up as kind of a chapel, a remembrance of Rhoda for, I suppose, the intercession that she had done for her. And I have a friend who was apparently cured of cancer right before the surgery. Everything had been verified through biopsies and blood tests that there absolutely was cancer going on. And then in the final test before the surgery, after they went to the house and were prayed over by a priest, everything was gone. And there's a number of other anecdotal stories. And so because our cause is up for sainthood, it's not surprising that God might be doing miracles there, you know, so that those healings can document and provide the evidence for sainthood.
Wow. We got about a minute and a half left real quick. When you're doing exorcisms or watching exorcisms because you don't really perform them, do they scare the hell out of you?
No, not at all. And it's not about courage or bravado, but it's something that God does for the people involved in this work, where he just takes that fear away, and you simply know you need to do what you need to do, and you simply move forward and do it. I've known priests who normally in their life are fairly timid, and we'll say, you know, that's just their nature. They're not particularly bold. But when it comes to this work, there's a strength that wells up in them, the Holy Spirit, and you just kind of step forward and do what you need to do. And that's one of the things we look for. It's kind of an indication that God's calling somebody to that work.
Interesting. Where can they get your book, Adam?
You could get it from Sophia Institute Press's website, or you could just go to Amazon. And, yeah, it's available there.
It's a great book, The Catholic Guide to Miracles, Separating the Authentic from the Counterfeit. Next time you join us, we'll talk about that separation. What is real and what isn't? How's that? Is that a deal?
That sounds good, Damian.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Okay. It is 7:56 on Wake Up, and another quick hour has gone by. I don't know about y'all. I love that topic.
Yeah, you me
know,
too.
And so we're going to have Adam back again in the near future to talk about the final aspects of his book. In the meantime, y'all ready to pray? St. Joseph is waiting for us. Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Loving St. Joseph, faithful follower of Jesus Christ, I raise my heart to you to implore your powerful intercession in obtaining from the divine heart of Jesus all the graces necessary for my spiritual welfare, particularly the grace of a happy death, and the special grace I now implore through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us and protect us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have a wonderful show. Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald. Jennifer Hubbard joins us again to talk about her book, Finding Sanctuary. And Anthony Ryan with Ignatius Press talks about St. Therese of Lisieux, Living on Love. It's a beautiful book. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.